Welcome back, my friends. Chef of the Fat Man live from Le Cordon Green, the Big Green Egg Culinary Center. Now, we're going to have a very special guest coming up a little later. We used to tell you who the special guest was, but then people would say, well, I don't want to listen to that one, or I don't want to listen to that one. But when they hear special guest, they're like, huh. Yeah. So we're shamelessly teasing. And I love the way you crack your knuckles while you're cooking, Chef Eric.
I'm not cracking my knuckles. I'm grinding some black pepper.
Oh. All right. Now, the sound effects you're hearing is not the sound of a guy scraping gum off the floor of Le Cordon Green. That is Chef Eric scraping the Italian sausage off of the bottom of the pan.
That's right. I got a nice cast iron, well-seasoned pan. Don't really need to use any nonstick or anything. I'm adding some fat back into it because the sausage is a little bit lean for my preference. So we're going to add about 2 tablespoons of butter. Nice grass-fed Kerrygold butter.
You know, the other day, Chef Eric, we had an extremely interesting... A gentleman had tried cooking with cast iron for the first time, and he was going, man, this is awesome. But my friend left it in the sink.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about cooking with, because you're very familiar with cast iron. Yeah. And he said, well, all I did was take a little Dawn, and I got it all off there.
Yeah.
But you're also taking out a lot of the new oils you've put into it.
Well, yeah. There's a little bit of a misconception, though, that you can never have water touch the pan. And that's not right. You absolutely can. When it's still hot, I actually pour a little bit of Dawn detergent into it, let it sort of bubble up.
And over.
Sometimes. And then over the sink, pour some water, swish it around, dump it out, and it's usually clean. It doesn't even need additional scrubbing. Where you get into problems is when you start scrubbing everything. That's really more than anything else the issue, because if you're scrubbing it with like a Brillo pad and, you know, you're trying to get it down, then yeah, you're going to go right back down to the original iron and you're not going to have any of that seasoning left.
And seasoning is critical to cast iron. Now, when we first started talking, this was like 7 or 8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago with Lodge. We had an interview with the CEO of Lodge. And he said, we're coming out with a new... He said, what don't you like about it? I said, well, the only thing I don't like about cast iron is I don't like the hassle of putting it in the oven, 350 degrees, 400 degrees, take it out with oil, do it again, do it again, do it again. It takes a lot of time. He said, well, you're going to love what we're doing. We're coming out with a new line called ProLogic, where they... He said, one day one of my engineers came up and said, what are we doing? We've got all the oil we need right here in the warehouse. Why don't we put them in there? We've got the furnaces that will season it a lot quicker, a lot more effective, and we can... Yeah. And they came out with the ProLogic.
Right.
Pre-seasoned.
That was all your idea.
It wasn't my idea. I just told him. I said, I'm tired of doing it. I'm lazy. And he said, that's why they call you the fat man? I said, what do you mean? What's your point? But, you know, all kidding aside, seasoning is... So, you know what? Take the time. Big Green Egg has a wonderful line of cast iron. Cast iron to the Green Egg is kind of like the, what would be a great analogy? I guess it would be like the cork to a bottle of wine. You know, a real cork to a bottle of wine. It really is critical to the element. And that's one of the greatest things. Really?
Sorry. Were you talking?
Well, I know you kept getting louder and louder, but... One of the great things about Big Green Egg is they have research. They've got a research crew. Keep going. Keep going, funny boy. And they've got a great research team here. And there is nothing that gets the Big Green Egg logo or makes it into the culinary or into the retail center. It does not get there unless it's an incredible product.
Right.
And so you can come here and do your one-stop shopping, get the cast iron you need. If not... Lodge, I don't know if they still call it that. I think it's still called the...
ProLogic?
ProLogic. I think it still is.
Maybe. Yeah.
But look for the seasoned, because it'll make your life a lot easier. But man, I'll tell you what, a Dutch oven, so many things you can do with a Dutch oven, chef, and the pans, and it's an amazing thing. So now you've got your sauce going. I heard it stir.
Yeah, so all I did here on the sauce, first of all, in the ground beef, I added the butter, but I also added a good amount of cumin, about a tablespoon of cumin, and about 2 teaspoons of harissa. And harissa, you might remember when we went to the Mediterranean, it's a very popular spice, sort of a potent spice. Huh?
I just sneezed.
It felt like you said something under your... What?
Anyway.
And it's a mixture of different spices is what makes it up. But you can also take it and make it into a paste. Just take some water. And it's a great little, like, a garnishing paste or something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, it will be in a nape state, yeah. But yes. So anyway, we added harissa, we added cumin, salt, pepper to the... Italian ground beef, the Italian sausage, ground pork, rather.
Right.
Now, this can be done with beef. It can be done with standard ground beef. If you're going to use standard ground beef, use something like probably a 90-10. You do want to keep it a little bit lean.
I love 90-10.
Yeah. And that works well in this application. You don't want too much grease. You're going to end up having to drain it off anyway. Or you can also add a mixture of pork and ground beef. Now, the other thing I did is all that great fond, all those little crunchy bits down in the cast iron that were left there, I like to kind of make sure we're getting all of that goodness up. So I took my enchilada sauce, and we're not going to hand make my enchilada sauce. I opened a can. I opened a can.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
I'm telling you, you are getting better and better at learning my culinary tricks and skills. One day you will actually be a blue-collar chef.
Thank you so much. Well, I was thinking about making my own, and then I noticed at the grocery store that there was La Victoria, specifically La Victoria red enchilada sauce. I'm like, that'll work, because La Victoria is like a real brand. It's not like Ortega, which is sort
what's
of...
What's that? What's
that's the, Amanda, taco, that's
what was
the
that?
Taco Bell
what was
brand.
That? Stuff he was, you were what? Looking up about his day.
Stop it. I don't think it's relevant right now. Anyway, so I found some of that. So what I did is I dumped that into the cast iron pan as it's cooling and scraped all the fond off the bottom of the pan. And what that's going to do is bring some of that great flavor into the enchilada sauce and give us sort of a blending of the of those flavors rather than just pouring it straight in from a from
now,
a can.
When you talk about that, what's your preference? I usually, when I do that, because I do that a lot, mm-hmm. especially in cast iron, I'll let it sit for like 3 to 5 minutes so that it you loosen up more easier off the bottom. Do you find that to be the case, or do you just hit and scrape?
As far as?
Getting fond off the bottom pan using a sauce.
Typically, using a sauce with some acidity to it, like something that's going to have tomato or citrus or something like that, or even alcohol. It's going to start releasing immediately. So I don't really, unless it's not budging, I don't let it sit. Just because I'd rather all that get pulled up into the sauce mm-hmm. and sort of then allow it to simmer or sit.
So we disagree.
Well, that's really not a big shock, is it? Yeah, exactly. So, so now what we're going to do is we've got to wait for our cornbread to finish off. And we've got to wait for our... the roses, the cream cheese roses to come off. So
now when you're using tomato sauce, I find especially when I'm using anything with heavy tomato, always sugar. Always sugar. I always throw a splash of sugar in there because it sure helps. I used to get acid reflux a lot, and man, I'll tell you what, a little sugar. Now, I'm not talking about a tablespoon or a teaspoon,
right.
But I might take a quarter to a half a teaspoon and throw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually heard people use
Tums. Yep, you can
and
grind
things
up
to
Tums.
Grind those up. And let me tell you, if you have any issues with acid reflux, it makes a huge difference. But if you don't want the sweetness of the sugar, try a Tums or anything else you would.
Well, you know what actually makes a bigger difference?
What's that?
Is if you make your body a little bit more alkaline, less acidic by... Following
not another paid announcement. We can,
by following a better diet.
Yes, and no alcohol.
Well, in my case, no alcohol because I apparently can't handle it in my system and lose weight. But I honestly, if you go to more alkaline state in your body, you won't have any reflux.
Well, if you think I'm going to take one of those things that they check for batteries, and I'm going to stick it down my throat and see which balls are which, you're full of it. I'm just going to go ahead.
I don't even know what that means.
Haven't you? You don't know about a battery tester?
I know what a battery tester is.
Well, that's. I'm not going to use that. So why would I check the alkaline? Because you're checking the alkaline and the acid in your battery. I don't know where to put the hose to begin with.
They're little strips. They're little strips.
I don't know where to put the hose to begin with to check the acid. So, and who wants to sit there and look at the, see if the little balls bounce up and down? I won't do it.
It's not the same.
It's not?
No, it's not the same.
I was wondering. Anyway, one thing is always the same. Fun, food, and a great, exciting show, especially when we're at Le Cordon Green. We are Chef and a Fat Man taking it to the streets of where? It's not Norcross.
It's Tucker.
It's not Tucker? Well, they've got an identity crisis.
Look at that.
Doroville, baby.
Doroville.
Chef and a Fat Man coming right back.